A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children, and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call." He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. The word of the Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. If you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that, free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you have gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. As the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. On the fourth Sunday of Easter, the church begins to transition us from the focus of Easter to that of Pentecost. We can say it's the midway point of the Easter season. And as this is the case, Jesus is confirming the beloved image of God as the shepherd and his people as the sheep of his flock. This image is something that was very much akin to the experience of the people of Jesus' time. Even to this day, if you go to the Holy Land, one of the things you will see is shepherds in relationship to their sheep. And you will hear them making all kinds of sounds. They have distinct sounds that they make, and the sheep know those sounds. Some sounds come, it's time to eat, or to warn them of an impending danger. And we'll call them by the name. But it's amazing to see those sheep respond to that shepherd's voice. In fact, it's been said, I haven't witnessed this, but those who are native to the places say that they can mingle all types of shepherds and their sheep together. And the shepherds will then begin to call and make the sounds for their sheep, and every last one of those sheep that belong to those shepherds will come to that sheep. There will be no mixing up of anything. They know the voice of their shepherd. And I believe this is so important for us to bear in mind, particularly as Jesus, using this type of figure of speech in today's gospel, he is confirming the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 34, when God was lamenting the despicable way in which the shepherds he had entrusted to guide and govern his people were derelict of their duty. They were very, very self-serving and disregarding of what God wanted them to do. And this would provoke God to speak through the prophet Ezekiel, I myself shall come and shepherd my people. We know that the first great king, well, Saul was the first king chosen for the people, but the one that the people celebrated more than anything else was David. And he was a keeper of the sheep. He was in the fields when Samuel had Jesse call your son. We cannot begin our celebration until he comes. And we know how things transpired after that. After anointing David, the Spirit rushed upon him. But again, we know David was a prefiguring. He was a type of the one that God would send, his only son. And so Jesus says, I'm not only the good shepherd, I am the gate. In other words, he is the way by which one comes to salvation. As we hear St. Peter today in the Acts of the Apostles, we're given the second part of his sermon, his first sermon. This is on Pentecost Sunday. He is proclaiming Jesus as the Christ and Lord that we put to death. You can imagine how that word cut to their hearts. And they ask, what shall we do? And we notice how Peter responds. He says, not only repent of your sins, but be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. In other words, St. Peter directs the people and reminds us that the sacramental life of the church is essential to the relationship between us and Jesus, our good shepherd, who went about doing everything well, particularly redeeming those to whom he was sent. And it wasn't just exclusively to the house of Israel. That was his first matter of business. That was his priority. But as we know, it would go beyond to the ends of the earth. And this is realized as we see Peter now empowered, clothed with that Holy Spirit. He's able to interpret. He's able to speak from a position of understanding with the Spirit's guidance and insight. He is now living out what Jesus prayed for him. Remember, before his death, Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for thee, so that when it happens, you will return to your brothers and strengthen them in their faith. We see this. It's realized in the Acts of the Apostles. But how do we become familiar with the voice of the Good Shepherd? We know this is really significant because after the resurrection, time and time again, those who were closest to Jesus were having difficulty recognizing Jesus. Probably the most powerful scene of this was Mary Magdalene, as she went looking for him to go and take care of his body in the tomb. And the tomb was open and she was distressed, even though she had two angels there talking to her. She said, "What have you done? What have you done with my Lord?" And she then turns and thinks that this is a gardener, but it's Jesus. "Have you done? What have you done? Have you taken it? Where have you placed his body so that I may go?" And as she feels like it's another dead end in terms of what she was trying to accomplish, she's walking away. And then all of a sudden, "Mary, Rabboni." She knew his voice. If I were to gather a group of men who were married 40 plus years to their wife and have them blindfolded, have them all in here, and have all different people, all different women in the community, and say, this would be their instruction, just say one word, "Honey," I guarantee you that every one of these men who would be having their eyes blindfolded, they would recognize the voice of their wife. All these women, they could say it sweet in every kind of way, but they would know, "Honey," they would know it was their wife. And then, of course, maybe to make sure, the wife might say, "I'm going to make sure he knows it's my voice," when you know how it is, the honey-do list, right? And maybe honey hasn't been so good to you, or maybe as prompt as you want him to be, "Honey." The inflection of the voice. We know those with whom we are yoked, those with whom we're in relationship with. Like my mom, when sometimes we would be in debates about certain things, sometimes political issues and all of that, and she'd be going on, and then I'm just as passionate about my position, and she'd be like, "Kaa, you're supposed to be the priest." And I said, "Yes, I am the priest, but I also have a passion and I have emotions just like you." "Yes, but you're not supposed to be talking like that." I said, "Well, what are we doing here?" So one of the things we have to realize that's necessary, we have to cultivate the habit of spending time with our Good Shepherd. That doesn't necessarily mean saying anything, just stopping and catching our breath and saying, "Lord, I know that you are here. You are always here. It is I who am absent to you more times than not. I'm taking this time. I want to know your presence around me, but within me." And make that, take maybe about 5 minutes, just taking, like when you go to the doctor has you taking a deep breath and let out, exhale, inhale, exhale. Just slow down. And then take up the scripture. And before taking up the scripture, say, "Lord, I want to know your voice as the Good Shepherd. Help me to know your voice in relationship to every other voice I hear in our world that's filled with so much noise. I want to know your voice." And let this become a pattern for you. And you will begin to be amazed and how often the Lord is speaking to you. How often the Holy Spirit brings back to your mind and heart words of consolation, words of promise, words of hope, but also words of challenge and correction when needed. Sometimes they may be audible within your heart, but more times than not, it's going to well up as a thought. Such as the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. But the shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know his voice. So Jesus is confirming for us today, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. Yes, you have had many shepherds that I have chosen to govern and direct my flock. Not all of them have remained faithful to me. It saddens my heart. I know this. But that does not change the fact that I am the chief shepherd. I am the one who have called you by name. Place your trust in me. Pray for the shepherds that I have raised up in your midst. Pray for those who are faithful. Pray that they remain strong. And for those who have served themselves, who have not conformed themselves to me, and so they have deserved the title of thieves and robbers, pray for their conversion. Appeal to my mercy, for on the day of judgment, all shall be reconciled once and for all. But in this meantime, beloved brothers and sisters, let us continue to attend to the pattern of life that Jesus has entrusted to us, especially the pattern of life that governs our worship, the teaching of the apostles, the breaking of the bread, the communal life, and the prayers. All of this is meant to keep us on the way that leads to the green pastures of eternal life. God love you.